Outside Health and Fitness Podcast, episode 130. Enough is enough.
Welcome to the Outside Health and Fitness Podcast. We're getting outside the box, outside our comfort zone, and outside and in shape. If you're bored with the same old fitness routine at the gym and you're ready to try something new, then this is the show for you. We're exploring new and fun ways to get fit on the trail, on the water, on the slopes, and outside.
Hi, this is Steve Stearns from Outside Health and Fitness, and thank you for joining me for another episode. If you're new to the show, we like to stay fit and active by having fun outside. We like to ride, slide, run, walk, hike, bike, golf, rolf, swim, and ski. If it's fun outside and it keeps us healthy, we love it. So if you're like us and you like to have fun outside, then you found the right place. You know, sometimes you get to the point where you say, enough is enough. You're tired of feeling the way you're feeling, and you're ready to change for good. This is a huge first step, but oftentimes the next step can be just as challenging. What do you do first? There are so many changes you want to make. Well, my guest tonight is Fitness Hall of Famer and nationally recognized healthy living spokesperson, Kathy Kaler. Kathy is back on the show to help you take the next step and talk about some simple things we can all do to be healthier and start feeling great. Unfortunately, Kathy and I had a pretty bad connection for the first few minutes of the interview, but if you can hang in there, the connection does improve, and Kathy really shares some great information on the show today. So let's get right into my interview with Kathy.
OutsideHealthAndFitness.com.
Okay, well, Kathy, I am so excited to have you back on the show. This is fantastic. Great to talk with you again.
Very excited to be here.
Great. So how is the weather where you are? Are you fully into summer at this point?
Well, Southern California has a way of skipping spring and moving right to summer. So we are peaking in the mid-90s. So, yes, I'm going to say hot.
Wow, that's awesome. That's great. Yeah, we're experiencing something similar to that over here. So we decided we wanted to talk about sometimes you get to this point where you go, you know, enough is enough. I want to get in shape. I want to get fit. Now, what about eating? Do you find that there are things that you can help people replace in their diet right away that can have an impact?
Absolutely. And eating is probably the big part of a larger slice of the pie, if you will, for making really sound changes in the way we live our life to a better quality of life. And I would say the first thing that people can look at is, because everyone is different, is to write down what you eat for a handful of days.
Right.
That's easy enough. Everyone's got a piece of paper laying around, and you can just carry that with you. And when you put something in your mouth, write it down. And that gives you a very clear idea of what you're consuming on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
And what we do know from studies and surveys and research is that our bodies need to have more foods that are from their original state, kind of that whole food, one step from the tree or the bush or the ground. And I think it becomes a challenge and can even be a friendly kind of competition that you figure out a way to get more of those foods into a daily meal plan. And it can begin with colors. Make yourself a bet. I want to get 3 reds in and 2 greens.
Yeah.
And don't go to bed without making sure that that happens. The reason for that is the body demands antioxidants.
Yeah.
We need to protect ourselves. Our cells are our body. Our body, our cells. It's made up of trillions of cells. And these cells are, on a day-to-day basis, faced with a lot of stressors that are damaging our cells. You know, you can look at people's skin when you stay in the sun. It starts to kind of, you know, burn out those skin cells. They get tan and they get, you know,
that leathery kind of look, right?
Leathery, exactly. Yeah. So we need to, what is a way to give our bodies more antioxidants? Well, the first thing is with fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
They, in their original state, without being cooked, have a lot of live enzymes, and it's a way to nourish ourselves. So that's one way. Another way is to look at what I think is going to become very, very front in the news and everything that we will begin to read about. I know there's a movie coming out about sugar, but that truly is one of the most harmful products that we can put in our bodies.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's not just that sugar bowl that sits on the table that, you know, that grandma maybe put a teaspoon in her tea every night. It's made its way into everything.
Yeah.
And whether we want to believe it or not, it's something that we've got to pay attention to. So the easy ones to look at are the sodas, the cookies, the candy bars. But when it gets to the masked items, mm-hmm. your salad dressings, the boxed dinners, the pizza sauce, the spaghetti sauce,
right.
the ketchup, the French fries, the list is enormous. And unfortunately, marketing has hidden a lot of the sugar term into other words that we may not recognize.
Right.
So it is a little bit of an education process, but it's worth it. And it's something that I think the American public really needs to open their eyes and realize sugar is very harmful to our bodies. And it's not just about weight gain. It's more about the deterioration of cells and damaging to the cells and then looking at diseases that come from it, which is, you know, your diabetes.
Yeah, and there's a lot of inflammation that's associated with sugar too, isn't there?
Yes, exactly. I love that you brought that up because that is very true. And an inflamed body is something very if it's ongoing for years and years, there's degenerative diseases that are going to take place.
Yeah. I wanted to go back real quick to, you know, one of the first things you said about eating is you said, you know, I have them write everything down. And, you know, I have found before it's almost like magic. If I start writing down all the stuff that I am consuming during the day, I make smarter choices every time.
You don't want to write down the bad stuff.
That's right.
Oh, I can't possibly write that down. And get something else.
Somebody might find this. Yeah.
little psychology.
It is.
And it's also important to understand it's not these new found words that we're seeing in the food industry, organic and non-GMO. These words are here to stay.
Yeah.
And part of our culture, we have not really had any reason before to question the food that we find in our grocery stores. We thought, yes, of course, it's safe. It's the practices of production and processing that we have to question.
Right.
Because there's too much in the food world that are still putting products out there that contain preservatives and chemicals and dyes that are being now proven to have health risks.
Yep.
Connected.
Yep.
It just shocks me every time I go in the grocery store and you go down the baking aisle, and at kid level, there are cake mixes that are colors that would just, you want to see them in a saltwater fish tank because they're that bright orange and green and yellow and purple and blue. And they're making cupcakes and cakes out of this for birthday parties. And so I think there's a long way to go, but I'm excited that recognition and voices are coming forward. Katie Kirk, a longtime friend of mine, did the movie Set Up with Lori David. We've got Ronnie Hari, who's the food babe, who is making a lot of chatter in front of big, big, big companies and making them aware that changes have to be made. We are not going to stand by and let us be the guinea pigs.
Right.
So there's a lot of work to be done. But, you know, to get back to the point of what you eat is important, I always say try and choose as much as you can foods that are closest to their natural state.
Right.
Be aware. Open your eyes. Pay attention to what food you're eating. And you also want to eat foods that you're going to feel good. So many people will eat a meal and then they just have to go lay down. You just feel like crap.
Exactly.
So how can I make those changes? Well, live enzymes are important. So trade a day out for eating some raw food. Raw food can be delicious.
Yeah.
You know, look for that meatless Monday and look into more of a vegetable-based meal. And start to adopt these habits not as a diet, which I hate saying that word. My friend Richard Simmons told me a long time ago, never say it, because the first three letters are D-I-E and it dies out. So I've really taken it out of my vocabulary, but sometimes it has to come out. But this is life. Eat for life. And we want to feel good all the time. So the choices that you make are very important.
Can you talk about how important sleep is? Sleep seems to be something that's in the news a lot. There's more studies about how important it is.
It really is. And I think more and more studies are going to happen because we have really lengthened the workday in that with our electronics, we can carry the work home in our back pocket.
Right.
And continue until that's the last thing you look at before you close your eyes, if you ever do. And sleep is extraordinarily important for our bodies. And really, there isn't one body part that you can say it doesn't matter. Sleep is when we repair. So repair from the oxidative stress is crucial. So whether it's skin to organs to muscles to the brain, which there is tremendous amount of work being done. I just was visiting with my friend Maria Shriver, and I don't mean to name drop, but I did have her as a client. And in the most recent time, she's been doing a lot of work with Alzheimer's, and it is showing that the brain has to rest for repair.
Right.
And so, I mean, to me, that's just right there. Hey, I gotta really aim for the 8 hours. But again, it takes a little bit of training. If you are not accustomed to sleeping 6 to 8 to 10 hours, it's not going to happen overnight.
Right.
And it may mean you need a few little tweaks. And some of the tips that I give my clients is that you need to take a look at your bedroom. And what is keeping you awake in the bedroom?
Right.
Do you have curtains that are not very dark? So there's still a sheerness to them. So that early morning light or maybe the street light can still shine through. That's going to make a difference because we need to get into that deep sleep and we need to have no light coming across our eyes, even though they're closed. So that our own natural melatonin is able to be produced that gets us into that deep sleep. So the window may be a number one thing to check out.
Yep.
The next thing is to look at what lights are in your room. Is it the cell phone that's still going to be blaring?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the alarm clock? Is it the security alarm that has a little light? Is it the fire alarm that has a light? Do you have a television that you sleep with? All of those lights, as much as you think, oh, well, I close my eyes and I sleep all night long, you're not getting a deep enough sleep for that type of repair that we need to take place. So there's a few things that you can do. You can put tape over all those lights.
Mm-hmm.
You should for sure be putting that cell phone on airplane mode or put it in the other room.
Right. Put it on an airplane.
Getting the windows to be as that, you know, that dark as much as possible. And it may even need a sleep mask. You know, they used to give them out on the airplanes. I'm sure they don't anymore now. We don't even get a pillow. But you can pick them up at drugstores or check out online. They've got some other fancy ones. But, you know, sleep mask is very important because it does take you into complete and utter darkness.
Yeah.
I love that our bodies make melatonin, but you may be experiencing a situation where your body doesn't as much as it did when you were a baby. And the light is one of the keys and aging is key. So having that maybe assisted, I am the spokesperson for USANA. I also have my own USANA business. And one of the most incredible products that they have is called Pure Rest. And it is one of the most purest, best quality, and that's a key there, ingredient of melatonin that you can get on the market. And just a little tiny little tablet, you put it under your tongue, it dissolves, and my husband actually takes it, and he always says to me, okay, do you have anything else to say? Because I'm about to take my Purette. So
this is it for me.
Yeah, exactly. This is it. So rest is key, and beginning a new kind of sleep routine. You know, it might not be able to watch American Horror Story or Orange is the New Black before you go to bed. It may not be reading that murder mystery to stimulate. Maybe something, you got to read something a little more boring. Open up American history in 1807.
Right.
Something. It's important to let that body calm down and then begin that restful period, because boy, we're so much more productive, and I think our bodies appreciate that time to do what they need to do when we do get that rest.
You know, it's amazing. You were talking about all those electronics and the light and stuff. Is my dad built a log cabin, and I go up there occasionally, go skiing or something like that, and I never sleep better than when I'm up there. And I talk to people all the time. They say, oh, I sleep so great when we go camping, or, you know, and part of that is I think you're out in the fresh outdoors and all that, but you don't have any of those electronics. There's no noise, there's no light, and you're right. You just get a really restful sleep. You feel great.
Feel great.
Just going to replicate that at home.
We got to have that at home.
That's right. So the last one, now you said eat, drink, move, and rest. So the last one is move. So what's your advice with regard to just getting out there and being active and moving around?
Well, I love this one because I have been involved in athletics all of my life, and I've been a trainer and an instructor. But I love my personal attribute to this because I think it resonates with people. Mm. I have dealt with a hip situation since I was born. I was born with a dislocated hip.
Yeah.
And at 5 years old, I had a pin put in, and I took off running, literally. But that didn't last. And in my mid-40s, it started to bother me. Part of my mobility and being able to be physically active was limited quite a bit. Although I continue to go, I have experienced what it's like not to be as physically active as what I have always been accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
And what begins to deteriorate is first your muscle tone.
Right.
And muscle tone goes, and along with it is the strength.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you've got weak muscles and you don't have a lot of mobility and flexibility and range of motion, things start to hurt. And when things start to hurt, you're much more likely, I think the risk increases, for injury.
Yeah.
And I have hurt my back a couple of times over it. I never want to hurt my back again. It's the worst pain on the planet.
Yeah.
But these are the common complaints is you hear people say, oh, I have hurt my back. My legs hurt. My knees hurt. My shoulders hurt. A lot of it has to do with lack of movement.
How do you get somebody in a situation like that? Because it's almost like a vicious cycle, right? There's a lack of movement, and now I've injured myself, and I'm aching, and I hurt. How do you motivate them to get moving and get started again?
Well, I think anybody will be motivated if you can realize and see the light at the end of the tunnel that I can feel better.
Right.
I can get myself out of this pain. Unfortunately, we go down the route of painkillers and what I call Band-Aids that never really get to the root of the problem.
Right.
The root of the problem is keep your body strong. You know, we have a skeleton, but it's got muscles and tendons and ligaments attached to it to keep it upright. Those things get weak, that's where it starts to deteriorate. And so you got to start right from the basics. Now, if someone is injured, I always say, you need to see someone about that. Make sure you know what the injury is. So it may be going to that physician.
Yeah.
I like to ask for physical therapy because physical therapy is going to the root.
Right.
Where is the weakness? It's usually a muscle. Take those exercises that you're instructed with and adopt them so you do them and get that body back. And then it really depends on where I said in the beginning of this, I'm so done feeling this way. So that means you have to pick up the reins there and you have to manage this. And this is when daily exercise of something as simple as walking a mile.
Mm.
Start out easy.
Yeah.
But a mile should take us in between 15 and 20 minutes.
Yep.
And that's a nice walk. And we can all build from there, whether it's increase the distance or increase the intensity or both. And that's where we can begin. And I love that because it's doable. We all can walk. Doesn't take a lot of equipment.
Yeah.
You know, good pair of shoes.
Yeah,
we can
right,
do
yeah.
it anywhere,
yeah.
you know, traveling at home, on vacation, wherever you can do it. You can do it with someone, a dog or a friend or a spouse.
Yeah.
The variation is endless. So that's what I'd love to recommend because it's not overwhelming.
Right.
And it's got such great results. And I've seen it on people, and it's amazing. And the muscles that are used are the ones you need. You need your glutes strong, which is the buttocks. You need your core strong, the whole abdominal area. You want your back strong, and your legs, your quadriceps in the front. That's you know, those are all hit when you've got a nice walk workout going.
Yeah, I love that too. And you know, like you were saying in the beginning there, where, you know, a lot of times, you know, it's kind of this bad feeling or these aches and pains and all this stuff just becomes the new norm. And, you know, people forget, you know, you can feel much better just by making some of these changes, you know.
And you can feel much better.
Don't settle for that, right?
Right,
That's awesome. Well,
fight for it. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Fight for it.
Fight for it. That's right. Get out there and fight for it. Well, that's really awesome stuff, Kathy. I really appreciate it. Where can we find out more about you and all the stuff that you're doing?
Oh, I love it. Well, you can Google me, Kathy Kahler, and it's K-A-E-H-L-E-R. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. My website has a newsletter. It's free. I send that out as weekly as possible with recipes and tips and new stuff that I got going on. So those are the main spots.
You're everywhere. That's awesome. Well, thank you again for coming on. It was so awesome to talk with you again. And as always, you're very inspirational.
Well, thank you so much, and I appreciate you having me on your show because, you know, it takes a village, and we've got to be out there to help others.
So there are some simple things we can all do to help improve our health and feel better. And if you're saying enough is enough, Kathy really laid out a great path forward for you. Stop by outsidehealthandfitness.com/130 for links to everything we talked about in the show today and more information, including how you can get in touch with Kathy and follow her online. While you're there, be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter and stay up to date with more information on getting outside and in shape. Well, that wraps up another episode of the Outside Health and Fitness Podcast. I hope you got something of value from the show today that helps you get outside and in shape. For more on taking your health and fitness outside, visit outsidehealthandfitness.com and subscribe to the show. Until next time, I'll see you outside.